The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Commuter Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7, and today, believe it or not, is the 25th of January 2017. Everyone knows we are the Alpha Male of Radio. Go out to motivationmuscle.com and check out the two free ebooks, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's been all revamped, and our 30-day approach. Go out, read, think, listen, and then go out and take action. They will no longer be on the websites. They will be, obviously, you'll click the ebook icon. We aren't running any more of that on. We're doing major stuff to both sites. The FBC site is going to be pretty intriguing when you see the two new things we got coming out. These are going to be real interesting. One of them is going to have to do with, I'm training Dennis. He's 271 pounds of some very dangerous fat on his body. I'm working with Dory Peterson, who's an RN. She's known all over the place as the Rebel Food Nurse. We're working with Dr. Jeffrey Smith, and we are working with Dr. William Wong. So you have an actual medical doctor, a registered nurse, and you have by far the best naturopath I've ever met, among everything else. So that page will be up next week, it looks like. We're just waiting for one more testimonial, but it's going to be pretty interesting. And then the second one that's coming, I really can't say, but all three of these individuals, plus Ken Nowicki, and I'm not really sure about the other person, so I don't want to say their name, are all going to be involved in this big thing. So keep your eyes open because it's coming. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/podcast. /category/podcast. We got our good friend Roger LaPointe on here today, and just go out and look at all the shows I've done with Roger. Roger came on here. He was the first person that came on M&M, and M&M has grown exponentially since then. We've been up now 2 years, September of last year. Most podcasts don't last 30 days, so there's an awful lot of stuff going on here, as everybody knows. We also talk about donations here now, and a lot of people have been very generous. If you want to donate to the show, you can do it two ways. You can go out to my PayPal account at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com, and we're also on Patreon, where you can give as little as a dollar per show. It's up to you. They're both all set up for Fiorello Barbell, so if you'd like to do it, we would greatly appreciate it here, because it costs $600 to run this show a month, and there's a million things going on that are costing money like you would not believe right now, but at this point, it's the only way to go, and that's the way the business is right now. We want to grow this like you wouldn't believe. With one of the plans I have right now, we could actually grow this show to 100,000 downloads a month. That means that's when people of big, big notoriety want to come in and advertise with you. So stay tuned. Anybody that's been involved with me for a long time, I know they've done well with the show. Well, you can imagine what's going to happen then. So we are busting our butt very hard to get this done and even get bigger and bigger. So stay tuned. Also, too, that might be it. I'm just trying to think if there's anything I missed. No, I didn't. Well, we are going to introduce Roger. Let me bring everything up for him. Number one, he is the president of Atomic Athletic. He's the Olympic lifter and a competitor, stone lifter, and he's a strength historian. And today, we're going to talk about the Jefferson lift, which if you guys have been following me and girls lately, you know that I am doing that now. And when I bring Roger in and we give a little bit of history, because I bet you don't even know where the name Jefferson lift came from. And Bill Hinburn and I, we've been talking a lot about these old vaudeville lifters and a lot of stuff from the circus era and things like that. So you're going to get a little bit of history today about the Jefferson lift and whom it was named after. Roger, welcome back. Happy New Year, sir.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here.
Very good. Anything I missed, website, anything like that, you know what we got here with time and all. So give it out, anything you want, and we're going to fire right up with the Jefferson Lift, if you would, please.
Good. Yeah, it's the company's Atomic Athletic, and it's exactly how it sounds, is the way it's spelled. You know, just go to www.atomicathletic.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you've got our blog. And that's not necessarily the same stuff as what you get in the free email newsletter, the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin, which I started in 1999 as just a, I had blind carbon copy emails, all text.
Yep.
Going out to people. And, then there's the Garage Gym Journal, which is our print-only publication. And that's got real in-depth stuff. In fact, I need to do an issue built all around the Jefferson Lift.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the Jefferson Lift was a lift that if you look at the old courses, even Weider, people badmouth Weider, I get it. But even the Weider courses had the Jefferson Lift in it.
Yeah.
And you go to other countries. I've got a course from China that was printed during World War II, and it's got the Jefferson Lift in it.
Mm-hmm.
What you've got, and there are several different ways to do the Jefferson Lift that are minor variations on the basic concept. And, Eric, I'm sure you've told people essentially what it is.
But let me just mention something, because I know what they're going to say, and I want you to tell everybody this. Now, a lot of people say it's a squat. A lot of people say it's a deadlift. What say you? What do you think?
It's more like a deadlift, in my opinion.
Okay.
Except, there are some variations on the way you can do it. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
And if you were going to say the movement is just like this, well, there isn't anything that it's just like. But I can tell you what the idea was based on.
Okay.
It was the same concept as a trap bar, sometimes called a shrug bar.
Yep.
Where you're trying to center the weight with your body's center of gravity and get some of the low back out of it.
Yep. Now, Raj, if you listen to a lot of people, because I've told them I've been doing it, you know what they say to me? You're going to hurt your back. Your lower back's going to get crushed. And I said, not if you do it right. I'll tell you the origins. Obviously, we'll go over that, but we do know Charles Jefferson was what it was named after, and we'll get into that more as we get into the show. But I'll tell you what got me going, because, I had all those wall charts when I started. I tried it. Younger, you don't really, who cares? I want to just squat or deadlift or whatever. But I never even thought of it that way. What got me into it was I become pretty friendly with Martin Janzicks and Stevie Shanks. And we've had them both on the show a number of times, and they invited me to Scotland this summer to come and lift stones with them. Which, if everything goes accordingly, I will be there. And I hope if it's not in June, I will be there before fall hits, but it doesn't even matter. And there's a lot of other guys that are going to be involved in this, it looks like. But here's where I got into the Jefferson Lift, and it was because of his father. When they just did that Rogue thing, that big film they did with Bill Crawford and Stevie and Martin, and they had Terry Todd ran
the
all of them. It was incredible, because we've just sent some stuff to Terry Todd to get him on the show, and we're hoping he's going to come on at some point. But I know with the Arnold and all that, I know the whole gig with everybody right now. But here's what really got me thinking, and I never thought of it this way, was I saw a picture of Jack Shanks. It was a partial, but I don't care. At 170 pounds, there he is doing a Jefferson Lift with over 950 pounds. Now, for anybody that doesn't realize, just think of the grip you'd have to hold it, because I didn't see him with anything around his hands, anything in the way of a lifting strap. I tried to see everything. I don't see a thing with it. So we'll forget that right there. But what I saw there, because going over there this year especially, I've got to go and do the Denny's. Now, think about a Jefferson lift. If you don't know what it is, I would say go out on the internet. Do you got one on your site, Raj? You got a picture? You got a picture of a Jefferson lift on your site?
Oh, yeah. Go into the blog section.
Okay. All right.
The other thing that I've done, and this is a funny thing, you mentioned the partial movement, because and it does apply directly to something like a Denny Stone lift.
There you go, because if you look at the hands on a Jefferson lift, it mimics the Denny Stones to a point. And when I saw that, I was like, holy God, man, I put it together now. And I don't know if that's why Jack was doing that or not, but I know what went off in my head when I saw it. And let's face it, you're using a norm. And I have the rings. David Horn just released them again. I think he stopped making them for about 5 years, and I had the ones prior to what he just started. So I've got that. But the Jefferson lift itself mimics that so much. Now, I'll let you take it and get into what we do, but I will tell everybody, in my power rack, all the holes are about 2 inches apart, you know, and I've got multiple sets of long rods. The first time I did it, I pulled, so it would be the second rod. If I had to, from the bottom, if I had to guess, maybe I pulled it 4 inches from the platform up. I pulled a 535 with that thing, and it was unbelievable feel. And I won't say the first time it went up clean, because obviously it doesn't matter how your grip is. Roger said right in the beginning, you got to be centered on the bar. That's not as easy as it sounds. And even when I've been doing like one arm deadlifts with an Olympic bar, obviously outside of the thigh, there's another thing. Well, you try to start in the smooth part of the bar in the center. It isn't always that way. So go ahead. But I mean, that was the main reason why I fired up the Jefferson lift and brought it back to me like that.
Yeah, it's a fantastic thing. Now, I grew up doing the Jefferson lift.
Yep.
And so it's funny you say, you know, is it a squat or is it a deadlift? Because my dad taught me how to do it.
Okay.
And I didn't even have any of the magazines or anything, not even any of the, you know, the crappy 80s magazines.
Yep.
My dad was just showing me.
Yeah.
I was a 10 or 11-year-old kid.
Yep.
And we had my great-grandfather's Milo triplex barbell set in the basement, which, you know, I've mentioned on other shows.
Yeah, yep.
And my dad says, okay, you're going to see a lot of different ways of squatting if you really get to studying this stuff. But this is the way I like to do it, because you don't have to have a spotter. You can just drop the bar if it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get crushed under the weight
right. If
you're training alone.
Right.
So you might hear the train in the background going by my office here.
Yeah, I hear it right now. That's good. It's manly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the train is about 20 feet from my door.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, the weightlifting facilities are always in the low rent part of the neighborhood.
Yeah,
so
that's the stuff when they go by your window shake like they're going to fall out. So, that's good.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
All right.
But you can hear me just fine, right?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. So, he shows me how to do the Jefferson lift, and the way I learned to do it as a kid was off the floor.
Yep.
And to have the bar perpendicular to my hips as I straddle it.
Yep.
Okay. And he told me to try to get it as perfectly perpendicular as possible. And of course, he used an alternate grip to do that. When I got to York, I mentioned the Jefferson lift to Jan Dellinger,
mm-hmm.
and he says, oh, Grimmick loved to do the Jefferson lift,
mm-hmm.
but he never did it as a full lift.
Ah.
What did he do it as?
Partial, but, right?
He did it as a partial from just above the knee.
Wow.
And he would put it on blocks to do it, so it wouldn't be in a power rack. Now, my guess is that's not exactly completely true, because for those of you who get my bomb-proof bulletin, the email newsletter, I've done several articles on the Jefferson lift where I've used a photo that I've got of Hoffman doing partial Jefferson lifts in the power rack.
Okay.
So, it, you know, odds are Grimmick may have even taken that photo. So it wasn't like Grimmick would only use blocks. You know, yeah. You get people out there saying Grimmick only used blocks. He wouldn't use a power rack. No. That's not true. He probably used the blocks as his favorite thing before he had a power rack available. Or maybe he used them at home in his basement gym, which I know he had. The other issue is, of course, power racks didn't exist before about 1960.
Correct.
And Grimmick was certainly lifting before then. Now, Grimmick, when he was a kid, had a setup where he lifted in his mother's attic, and he had chains that hung from the ceiling.
Yep.
So he could do bottom position partial movements going up. And he would do anything like that.
Yeah.
And the Jefferson lift, he considered his main heavy strength builder.
Mm-hmm.
Because Alan Calvert wrote about it in Super Strength. And I happen to have my copy of Super Strength right here.
No, what year was that? Probably in the 60s?
What?
When the article? Oh, no, Calvert. It was way before the 60s.
Oh, yeah. Calvert. Yeah. I've got an original Super Strength here. Guys, when you're buying these old books, like Super Strength, mine's a first edition, 1924.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're buying these old books, the paper, you're going to find two different kinds of paper if they've got photos in them from that time period. And the yellowed paper is highly acidic paper that today is very brittle.
Mm-hmm.
The photos are on what's called a clay-based paper. And those are in phenomenal condition. The old black and white photos are practically pristine snapshots.
Yep.
In this kind of paper. And as I've mentioned to you before, I've gotten some very old photos over the years. And actually, photographic paper does not last as well as this old clay-based paper.
Mm-hmm.
Does. So, you can really pick out the detail in these originals. And I know a lot of people have done different reprints, and, you can see them all over Amazon and whatnot. And there are real variations in quality.
Yep.
Depending on who's done it. But by and large, everybody's trying to get their publication as cheap as possible.
Yep.
And even with the digital downloads, they're trying to get it, that cheapness, that ease of downloading, whatever. And you just don't get the image quality.
No. Well, it's
interesting. I'll read this caption for the first one. It's figure 18 for those of you following along. And the pages aren't numbered in the photo sections, but it's the section after page 36. So figure 18, plate number 10, shows how you can practice the Jefferson lift, and it was called that back then,
mm-hmm.
with a barbell, a pair of ropes, and the dumbbell handle. Owing to the strain of the grip, it is not possible to lift as much in this way as by the hand and thigh method. Okay?
Okay.
So this guy and this dude's put together. in this photo. I mean, he's got some serious arms and shoulders, and I don't know how much weight is on this bar.
Yep.
But my guess is, based on sizes, the guy's doing somewhere around 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And he's, I think if it's the guy that I'm thinking of, he's about 170 pounder.
Yeah.
So, but he's doing it like a hand and thigh lift, but using a barbell. Now, I don't recommend using ropes.
No, I don't. No.
The way I have mine set up, and I've got a permanent barbell set. Well, it's not permanent. It's a semi-permanent barbell set up that I essentially don't change the weights on unless I'm really wanting to work the Jefferson lift that day.
Yep.
But I have it loaded to 275 because I've got a pair of 75-pound standard size plates.
Yep.
And an old standard size bar that wasn't doing anything.
Right.
And one day I thought, you know, I need to have some blocks for this to sit on so that I'm doing the partial movement. And I had a brand new crate of the kettlebell handles that came in.
Yep.
And I said, wait a minute, why not just use the kettlebell handles? I stand less of a chance of racking my nuts. Can I say that on?
Sure. Well, yeah, we got, that'll be all right. We're keeping it real clean here now.
Okay. You're straddling the bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, the further out your arms are,
yep.
And that's a nice variation to try, actually, is, you know, put your arms further out. It hits your back and shoulders differently.
Yep.
But the higher the bar goes up and you're straddling it, well, with the kettlebell handles, you get an extra, I don't know, 7 inches or something, for the bar to hang down from your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And what I use, and you could use any collar theoretically,
yep.
But I use the little Allen collars because they happen to be almost exactly the same diameter as the steel with the hole through it.
Right.
And I can put, you know, 4 collars on there, and, or even 2 collars, and they're not going to shift left to right. But I can vary the distance depending on how I want to work, especially the upper back, neck, and grip. So that's an interesting variation that I couldn't have done without having those independent handles like that.
Right.
And that's not a new idea either, guys. I did not invent that concept. For all I know, I'm the first person to use kettlebell handles to do it, but probably not. I won't take credit for that either. But I did see a unit for doing Jefferson lifts with handles mm-hmm. raised up that was obviously made by a blacksmith. This is an old Strength magazine, about 1928, and it's twisted steel. So the handles are not adjustable in any way.
Right.
But, you know, some blacksmith curled the steel up exactly right, and that's how you would have done it.
Hey, for that matter, you can just, if you want to fix your hands in a fixated position and you got a good welder and you got a medium bar that you don't care either way about and it's straight still, go have something welded right where you put your hands and rip it like that. I think that stuff's good, but I still want to make contact with that bar. Go ahead.
And there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these handles, the way I've got them,
yep.
They swivel.
Okay.
So what you've got is when you have, you know, your alternate grip.
Yep.
They're twisting in opposite directions, so you actually get less of that torsion issue.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Which, you know, a lot of people are going to say, "Oh, less torsion on my spine. That's good." You know, I've done a lot of reading on the Jefferson lift in the old manuals.
Sure.
Not one of them talks about spinal torsion as a bad thing.
No.
In fact, it's never brought up at all.
Nope.
Because at that time, you know, two-handed lifts were the unusual thing.
Yep.
It was all one-handed stuff. So you had guys using, even if they used a barbell, they were doing one-hand barbell bent presses.
Yep.
And, until you've seen somebody do a barbell bent press properly, you've never seen spinal torsion. That's,
Yeah. But I also think, too, we said this in the beginning, what is the propensity of people, number one, not to do things correctly, number two, to overload a bar that they know they can't lift, but their ego's got to get satisfied, and then number three, you can't walk for a week, or you've hurt something, or you've sprained something. That's why things like this get a bad rap. You know, we've talked about on previous shows with, like, the forgotten movements, the dips, the pullovers. All those things that are so beneficial will build so much size and bulk. Notice I didn't say endurance and mass, bulk. I'm going back to the 60s. All right.
Yeah, Park, man.
Yeah, but right. But what I'm saying is, Roger, is, yeah, okay, anybody can get hurt. We know that. We've all had injuries, blah, 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 blah. But the majority, I believe, of stuff comes from not being lifted correctly, loading too much, not having a lot of experience. And the only way you're going to learn a lift is either you got to train with somebody that does it, on a regular basis for a long time. Hopefully, maybe you find a good strength coach somewhere in your area or out on the web. Or here's a novel idea. Go out and read everything you can about it. Go out, be very careful, and start executing the program. That's it. And I don't know, because I know, I will say this, and we were probably going to get to it, but for anybody who doesn't know the name where the Jefferson lift came from, it's Charles Jefferson. He was basically in Barnum and Bailey Circus, and that's where a lot of this stuff came from. And I don't mean the weightlifting. I'm just saying these people were definitely a little bit different than everybody else, and there was all kinds of feats of strength. And I love this stuff. I think that I think everybody should learn a Jefferson lift. How many people you see lifting incorrectly, or they do these power squats and things of that nature, which, yeah, great, but it's more of a hip lift to me. I mean, my buddy Richie, like yourself, I'm sure, he was an Olympic lifter. He always will be. I see that guy at 173 pounds, ass to the ground no matter what the weight was. And this guy could lift back squat and front squat very heavy for that body weight. So,
well, and there's a second picture,
couple
pages further on in this book.
Yep.
And it shows a guy using the bar for a Jefferson lift.
Okay.
And this is an important thing here. It says, in performing this exercise, the legs are bent no further than shown here in the picture.
Yep.
Mr. Smith uses 400 pounds in doing this exercise, which is more than most men can lift once that high from the ground.
I agree.
This exercise is made easier if you practice it in the style shown in figure 18B, which is the previous photo that I showed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are, I mentioned, two different stance positions.
Yep.
And I know I've mentioned this guy's name before, and I've got some records in the All Around Association, right?
Yep.
I would love to be able to get the Jefferson lift record in my weight class.
Okay.
But I don't think it's going to happen, because Bob Hirsch has the records in a number of age categories and three different weight classes, all centered around 165. So he's got, the 70, the 75, and the 80-kilo records, because Bob is one of those unsung heroes of weightlifting.
Yeah.
Who will probably hold the Jefferson lift from the floor record in those classes for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, a number of different age groups, as well as open records and a number of different weight classes. But he's got them all around 600 pounds.
Wow.
with that kind of a weight class.
Yeah.
Now, do I think it's possible that somebody else could beat it? Yeah, absolutely I do. And even drug-free, I think so.
Yep.
Because you had John Terry, conventional deadlift, using an alternate grip, in a contest, officially do 600 pounds.
Yep.
In the late 1930s, so this is before steroids, as a 132.
Yeah.
So, do I think it's possible? Yes. Do I think I'm going to do it? Probably not. My record is in the thick bar Jefferson lift, and it is an age group thing.
Okay.
And I can't remember exactly the weight because I believe we were using kilos, but it was in the low 300s. And I was right around 165. I forget exactly the weight class for that too, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And it was a 2-inch non-rotating unknurled bar.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's the all-around rules for that sort of thing. And it was contest time, so we did other lifts before and after and so on and so forth.
Sure.
But the style that Hirsch uses,
yep,
I call the jerk style. Here's a way to practice your jerks if you're having issues overhead, as in, like, maybe you've got shoulder issues.
Yep.
Old guys, take note. If you've got shoulder issues, you can practice your jerks without jerking, you know, doing the strength movement with a Jefferson lift.
Yep.
And what you do is you do it, set your feet just like you're splitting for a jerk, but hold the bar and straddle it that way.
Yep.
So instead of having the bar perpendicular to the line of your hips, as you straddle, your hips become perpendicular because you're doing the split.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that you almost have to do it either on blocks or with the kettlebell handle method that I use or something like that. You've got to make it into a partial lift. Hirsch did it as a full lift.
Wow.
So my hat's off to him. The guy's the best anybody's ever heard of. But, you know, those are your ways of doing it.
Well, for time's sake here, let's just quickly, because we only got a few minutes and we can always do a part two of this because there's a lot more to talk about. But for everybody we're wetting their beak, so to speak, right now, let's talk about quickly. Obviously, we can build monster mass with this. We know that if we want to apply this to the Dinty stones. Let's just talk about that a little bit. You know, where is it hitting the body, you know, in your opinion, the best or in multiple areas, which I know we are with that. And just let's give everybody a little routine to throw in, and then we can always pick it up again, you know, in the near future, if you would, Raj.
Okay. I'm going to do two routine kinds of things, okay?
Okay, yep.
The first one is you're not concentrating on your Jefferson lift, but you've got a bar set up like I do.
Okay.
With 275. And at the end of your workout, whatever it is, you go over and you do a couple sets of 10.
Nice.
And whenever I do a Jefferson lift, I alternate directions.
Yeah, I got
regardless
you.
Regardless of which style.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And when you try your Jefferson lift, you'll suddenly realize, oh, yeah, I've got to have the bar angled this way and my hands this way. And
yep.
All of a sudden, you think of real practical issues.
Let me ask you this one second, though, all right, because I'll probably get a note from somebody about this or a text or whatever. Say you're squatting that night. Let's just say conventional back squat, all right, and we're talking about doing one or two sets of 10 of these after your workouts. Can they do them after they've squatted and, say, done something else? Would you advise that?
Yeah.
I would, too. I would, too.
Yep. I actually go by the what I call the Grimmick principle.
Yep.
Which is do more squats.
Yep.
And guys would say, well, you know, I'm already doing this and this and this. Do I need to do more squats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, you know what the great thing is for anybody that, you know, Roger's talking about doing a 2-inch bar? You know, there you go. You get some nice grip working at the end. And I always believe that you should always walk out of there feeling pretty vim and vigorous. You do 2 sets of 10. Let's just say you use a 200-pound thick bar. Whether you pull it from the ground or you pull it at a partial, do a couple sets of 10 to wind your workout up, and I guarantee you you're going to be walking stronger than shit when you go down the, you know, the driveway. So, yeah, go ahead, take it.
Yeah. So I really like doing Jefferson lifts combined with one-handed lifts.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So I'll give you a workout that I did last week.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
I started off with power cleans and repetition power jerks.
Okay.
So light and fast.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea. Power clean and triple power jerk overhead. Real light and snappy.
Yep. Yep.
Then – I worked up using doing full snatches.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
But I only went up to like 70%.
Yep.
Of my one rep max, and then stopped with that because my goal was actually to work my technique for the one arm barbell squat.
Gotcha.
Not the one arm barbell squat. I did one arm barbell squats, but the one arm barbell clean.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And with real lightweight, I made sure to get in 5 reps that were full lifts, including the jerk.
Okay. Yep.
So right hand and then left hand, about 3 sets of 3, and then move up to about 90% doing, you know, which was doubles for just the clean, not the jerk.
Yep.
And then I did 2 sets with that brass globe head barbell.
Yep.
That you've seen in the photos.
Yep.
The Train Like a Strong Man Volume 1 has that barbell right there. It weighs 107 pounds.
Yep.
And what I do is clean it, put it in the one hand centered, and then do 10 one-arm squats with that.
Mm-hmm.
Set it down, pick it back up, then left-handed. I did 2 sets with each hand. As soon as I was done with that, I got some water, waited a good 5 minutes because that'll take it out of you.
Sure.
It's only 107 pounds, but until you've tried it, it's a serious thing. And then, once again, I went right over to the 275 barbell there, set up with the kettlebell handles.
Yep.
And then I did it jerk style with the so it's in that lunge or split jerk position.
Yep.
And just 2 sets of 10.
Yeah.
And the it's not a real heavy workout, but if you're not used to that sort of thing, you will feel it in your spinal erectors, your neck, and your intercostals.
Yep.
And any of these core muscle areas right around your hips, the lower abdominal region.
Do you feel, I mean, obviously you mixed it in with some quality movements, but do you feel the Jefferson's lift, if we went in and just did some really good preliminary warm-up with body weight, say, maybe worked straight 20 minutes and went in and started, you can do 2 things, too, if you have the room or if you have outside where it's not bad right now. Why not do some Jefferson's right off the ground and get your power rack set up and do like Grimmick did above the knee? There you go.
The other thing that you can do with Jefferson's that I've done before is a steadily increasing height or greater and greater partial movement.
Yep.
Where I start off light, and every time I raise the height of the bar,
mm-hmm.
add on a pair of 45s.
There you go.
And after your third or fourth set, especially, this is, you're going to be down to doubles and triples.
Sure.
So that's the other way where you can go real heavy.
Yeah.
With a Jefferson lift. I don't recommend you start off Jefferson lifting real heavy.
No.
Just like anything else, you need to develop a base of strength over time.
Yep.
And, you can start doing – you'll get heavier and heavier each workout. But I firmly believe in – when you're learning a new lift, no more than about a 5% increase in weight.
Yeah.
Per workout.
Yep.
And once you stagnate, then you can start doing maxes and periodization and stuff like that.
Sure. Not only that, like everybody loves, just think how nice and strong your grip's going to be from doing that. There you go, right there. You want to pull dinny rings with big, huge dinny stones front and back. There you go. Not only that, as we've talked about multiple times, you want to be a stone lifter, you better have fingers that are like steel, literally, because there's your weak spot with everybody. If you got weak hands, weak fingers, you're not picking up any stones. And if you do, you might lap it and drop it. You're not going to be real successful. It took me many years to understand that. I've talked to many guys that were exceptional deadlifters that got tamed with a 200-pound Atlas stone. Okay, so this is some serious stuff. I would suggest everybody really go after it. We don't say give it a try here. I mean, go after it. Obviously, you can contact Roger. You can contact myself. I'm sure we could help you out with anything like that. But there's
no reason you couldn't take your Dinny Stone rings.
Yeah, and put them right through the bar. Yeah,
onto the bar.
Absolutely.
Yep. That's a great thing. Just make sure that the things aren't going to slide all over the place.
Exactly, because you might get hurt for sure doing that. No, there's a million – look it. There's a million things you can do. The idea here is that's why we talked about this lift today. Roger and I and other shows, I said that a little while ago. We've talked about the lifts that were so dynamic and built you so big from head to toe, but – most gyms will discourage you if they are a real gym, and there aren't many left in the United States, in my opinion. You might find one here and there, but most of the guys that got the gyms got them in their house or behind it or outside, let's face it. But I would tell everyone, start looking at some of these older movements. I mean, just think if you really learned how to do dips properly and a Jefferson lift. You could do those two lifts and you'd get massively strong and massively big. So that's the idea of all this stuff. And, we can always pick a little bit more up of this show the next time we come on board together, obviously, and we can add something else to it. But, Roger's got material out there. You can go out and look on his website. I've seen stuff all over the web. It's going to be something you're going to have to work hard on. It's not going to be something that, you're going to grab this bar and come up. And one thing I'll tell you, which I noticed, and you said it, Raj, was when you go to stand up with this thing, you can't stand up straight because if you do, that bar is going to go through an area you're not going to like, let me tell you, because I've done it. And not only that, big thighs, too. You're going to have to figure these angles. Roger touched upon that. Maybe I turn it a little bit this way to get my hands on it. It's not – I'll tell you right now, and maybe I'm wrong the way I do it, but if I do it, whether it's on the ground, in the driveway, or in the power rack, a lot of times I'm not going to come with a bar that's going to be straight underneath my body. A lot of times it's going to be a little bit angled one way or the other, depending, like Roger said, he switches hands. So if I'm going to start out on, let's just say, left hand behind me, right hand in front of me as with a deadlift, but the one behind me obviously is doing a clean deadlift. Then I flip my body around and my hands are pointed the opposite. So I just don't do it one way like he doesn't. All right. So these are all the things that you want to do. But Raj, summarize anything you want. Give out your material. I'll give mine and just hang on the line if you would please, and we'll get ready for next month.
Cool. Yeah. Try out your Jefferson lift. Whether you've got an Olympic bar or a standard size bar, or it, you know, maybe you've got the old chain lift bar where you can do it with a hand and thigh bar, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't really recommend the ropes like Alan Calvert suggests way back in 1924, but maybe use chain.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's not a bad way to go. Try it out and start light and work your way up.
That's the only way to do it. And
you'll see huge benefits,
yeah,
especially along those spinal erectors. Look at the old pictures of John Grimmick.
Yep.
And guys like Adolf Nordquist. You know, if you see pictures of their backs,
yeah,
their backs look like they're like snakes traveling underneath their skin.
That's what I always say. Yeah, cobras. And, you know, if you look at a more modern-day strongman, look at the back on Yoko Ohola.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about, well, any of them, Riegert, any of the old, go through and look at any of the old really, and I don't say, you know, the heavyweights got them too, but go look at the guys that maybe are 220. Look, if they've done stuff like that, you know, you and I think talked about one time with all the spinal erector stuff. I've got an Iron Man here. I wish I had it in front of me. It probably was from no later than maybe 68 or 69. And it's got a picture of a couple of these Soviet lifters, because the Americans couldn't understand why these guys were just lifting anything they wanted, you know, because, you know, they did the good mornings and they did all the other things on different machines that were going to make your erectors, you know, like boa constrictors. And some of the things they found were, you know, they were doing, obviously, Michael Yestis came out with the first glued ham. But what Alexei and all these guys were doing was, whether somebody was handing them a bar or somehow they did this, which I have no idea how they would have done it, they'd be in a gym, you know, in a room where gymnasts would work out, and they'd have their feet, the back of their feet, locked under all these bars that are against the wall. They're all wood, and you watch them climb them and stuff. And then you'd have a pommel horse, and I'm sure you've probably seen that picture. I mean, this is what they did, and they were creating these spinal erectors that were unbelievable. Now, I know what everybody says, well, they're all on agents, and everybody knows what agents are. I don't have to get in. I'm not going to say the names. I really don't care. You don't think some of the American lifters were on agents, please? They
were talking about it.
Yeah.
In Sports Illustrated at the time. It wasn't illegal.
No.
And you know, but the you have to remember when you're making excuses for yourself.
Yeah.
Guys like Grimmick, and especially somebody like John Terry.
Sure.
Who, you know, he was setting his records in the 1930s.
Yep.
And Grimmick set some of his records in the 1930s, too.
Yep.
Those guys, they weren't on anything.
No.
And,
No.
Their records are out there.
They stand. And, I remember reading a thing with Joe Doobie and them. They went over even there and investigated, and they found what they were doing, and they brought it back here, and I believe all their lifts went bananas when they did that. Spinal erectors are going to – I'll tell you what, Roger is right, and the same thing with the boa constrictors. You got something – you look at – go look at the past picture of that one on Milo with a hole on it. Literally, I bet you as big as my hand is and my fist is, I bet it would get buried in the middle of his back. That's how – I never – that back was like unfriggin' believable. But when you watch a guy like that, I've watched him deadlift in the 700s when he's training. At the time, I don't know if he still holds the record, that guy was pulling over a 400-pound sphere in the 90s, man. Now, he's not a Brian Shaw that's 6'8" or 6'9" and weighing 400 plus. This is a guy that was maybe 5'9" 5'11 at his tops, 275 pounds, and this guy could lift a damn train off the ground. Show. Yeah, go ahead.
Eric, I've stood next to him.
Yeah.
I happened to be standing next to him at the Arnold one year.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything like him.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a freak of nature. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. no doubt.
Yeah, and he wasn't 6 foot.
No.
There's no way. He was, you know, maybe 5 inches taller, six inches taller than me.
Yep.
So, you know, for those of you who don't know, I'm 5'3".
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm not a giant.
No, so. but I'll tell you what, and we'll close out, but I'll tell you this. You know, they say most of these guys couldn't compete in today's world. Well, I'm seeing a couple of them come up right now, like Martin, who was on here recently, came 5th in World's Strongest Man. He's no 6'9 giant, and I'm telling you right now, I've been watching him winning. I won't make a prediction, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the top 2 of WSM this year. The guy is brutal, and he's one of the nicest people I've ever interviewed. And, you know, one of the things he was saying, he goes, I really would like to get on here a lot more. He's always welcome to come on here. And, you know, I thank Ode Hagen for that because he trains under his tutelage. So that's how we got introduced. But, Raj, give out your website and anything, and let me give my stuff out, please.
All right. Yep. It's Atomic Athletic. That's AtomicAthletic. You've got the blog in the upper right-hand corner. It just says blog. We're not trying to get clever here.
Right.
And then in the lower left-hand, you've got the free email newsletter that you can sign up for. Once you sign up for that and you start getting them, make sure you view it as a web page because mm-hmm. you can do that. And in the upper left of the screen,
yeah,
you can start pulling down back issues. So, last I saw with the current system that I use, there were over 300 in there.
Wow!
So there's a lot of content.
Sure,
this isn't just we're having a sale on some book or something.
Right.
No, it's very content oriented. And then there's the Garage Gym Journal, our print only publication. And, of course, equipment.
There you go. That's about the best way to go. You got info, you got equipment, and away you go. And the rest of it hinges on you and rests on your shoulders, and that's another show. This is Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in the free 30-day ebook. All we need is your email address. Away you go. Go out to our motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, go out and look at all the shows Roger and I have done. 17's a new year. Here we go again. We're going to have an awful lot of stuff, and there's things going on, and I don't want to say them because if they ever backfired, I'm going to have to hear I told you so. But there's some major things in the works right now, and I've been busting my can for 3 years here now, and this could be the change of changes that people, I think, their jaw is going to hit the floor if this all comes true. So never not think that hard work won't get you somewhere. There's a lot more to it, but you have to work hard to get anything you want, especially your dreams. Also, too, go out to you can do one or two things. You go to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody. I thank you for that. We're on multiple directories now, serving millions of people. If you have a new car, you have the capability to get podcasting in it, and they do make aftermarket now, too. Go out to AHA, that's AHA, register for M&M, and you got us with you all the time. And that's a great thing to be driving around, listening to this inspiring stuff. Just listen to what you learned today. I mean, there's just so much of that out there. I believe right now we have over 650 podcasts in 2 years, a little over 2 years. Nobody's got stuff like that. I have just pushed and pushed and pushed, and it'll just keep getting bigger and bigger. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. If there's a show you like Roger and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at nightcap.rr.com. And as my mom said to us when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, press it, pull it. And if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. and no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to the show from the very beginning, that when I hear your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We've also had other people contact me, and they say, Jesus, man, you get cooking so hard. I swear to God, your voice is like rattling my speakers. Hey, that's the way it is. That's what we want here, man. We don't sit around and just talk like, it's none of that. It's high octane, high spirit, because that's the way things are driven around here, and that's just how my personality is. So, you know, it's a good thing, and I'm glad you like it. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My pop, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was my chiropractor for many years and like a father figure to me, because my dad had passed away so long before I met John. John was very instrumental in me going into business here and being behind me, and we lost him almost 3 years ago, and I miss John tremendously. He used to say two words to every patient. He would walk to the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that and not smile, because I've had that, and you can take the worst day of your life and twist it to the better, and that's what it's all about. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through the door. Join our family. Join our revolution. And before we sign off with Roger, well, by the way, Raj, thanks for coming back here, and Happy New Year. And, you know, let's make 17 huge for everybody, my friend.
Thank you. I'm always thrilled to be here. This is...
This is where it's at.
Be my high point of the day.
Well, it's good, and a lot of people say that, and I appreciate the compliment. We're on fire here, and hopefully I can give people a little bit more of what's going on in the next week or two. It all depends. There's a lot of things hinging, and there's a lot of back and forth and a lot of ideas, and if we can come to a good understanding, you're going to be amazed at what's going to be happening here. So we'll see. That's all. We'll go a little further with everything. You know, Les Brown will tell you all have greatness in you, which you all do, but we got your back and we're 100% behind you. Think about that. How many people would say that to you in today's age? Well, we're not everybody else, and we're a family, and we are going to do it all and wait and see. So, for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll have Roger on in February. I don't know, maybe we'll do a little bit more about the Jefferson, but as usual, we'll always have something really, really full of life in it for you and something you can take home with you and train on. That's what it's all about. All I can tell you is go out and do something great this week. Don't stand around and wait for it to happen. Make it happen, because you know what? Once you learn to do these things, you're going to become better and better. And that's what we want everybody to be. So have a great week, everybody. And Roger and I will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.